time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Absentee ballots came in for Holly. Yeah, nah, we don't do that. 747 rightfully won. You guys try to stuff the ballot box to beat me because your two sad-ass picks was way too skinny to take on my big boy.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
He might have some better options next year, although talking to somebody, a couple people at Baylor who know him pretty well, they find it hard to believe that he'll sit out a year, that he's not that kind of guy.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Oklahoma Joe's is the best barbecue in Kansas City, Missouri. You don't sue him because of that. Eskimo Joe's is the best bar in Stillwater, Oklahoma. It's not run by an Eskimo, I don't think.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. It is an awesome week. I think it's six ranked v ranked matchups. We have big games in every conference. We got the Alabama-Tennessee showdown. It's already off the rails. We'll get to that. We have got, I'm going to just say this, and this leads into what I'm doing. One of the reasons we're big onto cheating scandals, and we're going to get to them, a couple of them, in the People's Court, is because college football, one of the things that always drew me to college football was the cheating scandals. I liked when the guys were cheating. And now there's no rules.
Yeah, we've lost a little bit of our scandal appeal.
Right. There's no Nevin Shapiro's out there. There's no, like, this isn't any fun anymore.
Well, there is, but now it's kind of legal.
Not the same. Yeah, it's not as fun. It's not as fun.
Yeah. No, definitely not as fun. No.
The best part was it seemed to, all the scoundrels seemed to just go, not that there weren't cheating in other factors of America, but they all used to get to college football. I think we used to draw that. Now everyone's unleashed and there's cheating scandals everywhere. I'm getting these things sent to me on social media, email. Irish step dancing scandal, Miss America, the fishing. We did some walleye tournament in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I have this, and I think you guys are the cheaters. I think you're under suspicion for this one. It's Fat Bear Week. It's Tuesday. As we tape, we have not determined the champion, but let me just say past champion and my pick, 747, is in the finals.
Uh-huh.
Your two are out.
Uh-huh.
And what happened? What happened in the semifinals? We're taking on 901, and let me just tell you how big. Remember when we started doing Fat Bear Week, Pat? Like no one ever heard of it.
Yeah.
I am reading a freaking CNN story about this. CNN is now covering Fat Bear Week. Anyway, in the semifinal, 747, my pick, former champ, coming back for its title, its rightful heir, a massive animal, is going up against 435 Holly. Always a sturdy woman, a stout, very sturdy. Much respect for Holly.
Oh, yeah. Big girl can go.
Veteran of the process.
Yep.
And what happens? But we have, according to the Alaska Katmai National Park, quote, a Fat Bear Week scandal for the ages. Someone stuffed the ballot box in favor of Holly. Holly was losing by 6.
Wait, no, I thought it was in favor of 747.
No.
No?
No, no, no. Everyone's accusing me on social media of rigging it. But Holly was trailing by 6,000 votes, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 9,000 votes come in for Holly. Takes the lead. Fortunately, they stopped the steal. Stopped the steal. The Katmai, Alaska National Park people figure it out, banish the spam votes, and 747 wins 37,940 to 30,430. That's the official tally. Put it in. Get the vice president to ratify it. 747 onto the championship game. But who had motive to cheat and try to get my thing to lose? But you two. I think it was you two.
I will go back and say this. First of all, you sound very paranoid about this, and you want to blame, like, the Dominican voting machine or Dominion voting. And
I'm not getting sued.
Voting dead people or whatever.
Where's Giuliani?
I think it takes a while for the metro precincts to get counted. And so once those count precincts start coming in, that I think Holly should have won.
Absentee ballots came in for Holly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. We don't do that. 747 rightfully won. You guys tried to stuff the ballot box to beat me because your two sad ass picks was way too skinny to take on my big boy.
Well, did you pick first? Because I think you did, because you took 747. That right
it's
there.
It's
like
a keeper draft. It's like a keeper league. You get to keep your fantasy guy. 747 and me are there to the end. Like peanut butter and jelly, baby.
Mm. He keeps eating. There's going to be an end real soon here. Because that dude is huge.
You're going to take a good nap. Sleep well, my friend.
4 months
sleep
nap.
Sleep with the fishes.
747. An investigation is being
I think the vote
lost.
Was legitimate for Holly, and you've just managed to throw this into chaos and disarray here.
Disagree. Are you saying the Katmai, Alaska National Park people are dishonorable? Because I don't think that's fair.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that they counted all the votes, and the late votes came in from, you know, the Kamchatka Peninsula or wherever up there. And, you start counting them all, and I think Holly legitimately got the votes. I don't want to hear any of this stop the steal stuff.
No. All right. Ross, you're kind of quiet.
I'm new to this bear stuff. I didn't even know all this was happening, man. I'm a bear rookie. I'm a fat bear rookie. Yeah. But don't worry about it. Give it some time. I'll be more prepared next year when I scout out.
Yeah, the bear gets a little heated. It's been
damn right it gets heated. Who is the person, honestly? Who's that trying to cheat in the Fat Bear Week? I mean, nothing is sacred in this country anymore. It's not even Fat Bear Week. It's not even a real thing.
Who would decide to rig Fat Bear Week? It's pretty amazing.
It's like the fisherman with the lead down the throat of the fish to make the fish heavier. You know, it's like, what are we doing here?
No, but that
at least there was money.
Money.
Yeah, that's true.
What is there? 747 doesn't know he's in a contest.
Does 747 have owners that we don't know about? Like, is this horse racing? No. Are there bear owners out there?
747 owns you. You can't own that
747 thing. Sponsored by Delta. There you go.
They should. Delta should sponsor. Try to throw
Southwest.
A logo on it.
There you go.
Just dare you to go near it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dramatic song reading.
Uh-oh.
Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee Hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top. Ain't no telephone bills. This is where it gets weird. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, too much information. Half bear, other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Tennessee. Second verse. Once two strangers climbed old Rocky Top, looking for a moonshine still. Strangers ain't come down from Rocky Top. Reckon they never will. So in the first two parts of this song, we have a potential case of mountainside bestiality.
Yeah.
And the murder of a couple federal agents trying to crack down on moonshine. I love this damn song.
I mean, you know, it's Appalachia. That's I would classic. Say
absolute you know. Fantastic.
I didn't even know there was a real Rocky Top until I arrived here in Knoxville. There's our Rocky Top, Tennessee, about, 30 minutes north of Knoxville. How about that?
Absolutely, there is.
Town of 2,000 or something.
Yeah, it's between Louisville and Knoxville.
There you go.
This is so much better than all the normal fight songs that just talk about how we always, like, hail to the victors. Like, great fight song. But the words, no. Just This is it. We're, I mean, stuff is happening on Rocky Top. Murders and unspeakable things, except they literally wrote a song about it.
And they sing it like 23 times a game.
Yeah.
Ross, you are in Knoxville right now. Is that true?
That is true. Yeah.
And how many times have you heard the song so far?
You know, gosh, zero. Actually, I've only been here for a few hours, but so far zero. But I have a dinner tonight downtown, and I'm guessing I'm going to hear it quite a bit on the walk to the restaurant, and at the restaurant, and on the walk back from the restaurant, and any other bar I happen to pop into. Because I was humming the song before I got on the damn plane. I didn't even hear the song, and I was already like, well, I'm going to Tennessee, and I was and I was like, damn it. You know, it just kind of creeps into your mind. I haven't even heard once here. It's
not leaving until sometime after Saturday night.
That's right.
It's catchy. Sure. That's right. It's catchy. It's racy. It is. It's all there. It is. Don't be going looking for moonshine stills. Number eight, Tennessee hosts Alabama. Josh Heupel, second year on the job, and he has got the Vols cooking. Now, they already beat Pitt. They already beat Florida. They're having a really good season. This obviously would be the capper, but the amount of excitement right now in Tennessee, forlorn Vol fans who had to sit through the, what do we got, Derek Dooley era. We got the Butch Jones era. We had the Lane Kiffin era.
Eight months.
Of Lane Kiffin. Yeah. The attempt and to name we had waste
Coach
treatment.
Coach Asparagus.
Plant. Yeah. Coach Asparagus. Coach Pruitt. Is that it?
Yep.
Did not know. Yeah. They had a coach in Lane Kiffin they wanted to name a sewer treatment plant after. They had a coach in Derek Dooley who was way too smart to be a coach but couldn't coach. They had a coach in Butch Jones who was so inspirational, he brought up the garbage can on the sideline, the turnover garbage can, and just walked around grunting things like brick by brick. They then
champions
had
Champions of the World or whatever it was.
Coach Pruitt. Yeah.
Champions of life.
Champions of life, but champions of nothing else except the Music City Bowl that one year. Then you had Coach Pruitt, who didn't know what an asparagus was. It was a hell of a run.
Hell of a run from Phil Fulmer to Josh Heupel.
Claimed to have never heard of asparagus. That's how much of a football guy the man was. He just watched film, and the asparagus wasn't on the film. No wonder Josh Heupel's the greatest thing to come down the pike in a while.
Yeah, he's following less than illustrious company.
Yeah.
Yeah. You surprised this quick, though. I mean, I give Danny White credit. He comes from Central Florida as the AD, and he brings his coach with him. And it was kind of like, yeah, okay, maybe. But it wasn't like Heupel set the world on fire at UCF. But they look really, really good right now.
They do. They do. And they're ahead of schedule for sure. Like, just a few hours here, but met with a couple people in the administration, and they're not scared to say we are ahead of schedule. Like, we did not expect in year two we would start at 5-0 and you know, beat Florida pretty soundly at home and beat LSU on the road very soundly. I think this is quicker than they thought, and it probably has a lot to do with the quarterback, Hendon Hooker, and his set of receivers. He's kind of the guy that's captaining the ship here in Josh Heupel's offense, and the defense is making strides. I think they played the best defensively that they have all year down in Baton Rouge. So they're hitting on all cylinders. Too bad for them. They've got Nick Saban coming to town.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll pick the games later. Pat, your thoughts on the Tennessee revival?
Yeah, super impressed. I was pretty lukewarm on the Heupel hire for the reasons you mentioned. I mean, he was all right at UCF, but things had started to decline a little bit from the peak of the, I'm going to say the Mackenzie Milton era and not the Scott Frost era, because I'm starting to think Mackenzie Milton was the key to everything. But, you know, he came in, and boy, I mean, last year they just played with incredible tempo. And everybody plays with some tempo, but they were the fastest of the fast. And I remember them having, like, Georgia in disarray early in that game. And you're like, whoa, whoa. And Hendon Hooker looking fantastic. And they just really didn't have a defense to back it up. But now this year, as Ross said, they're making definite strides defensively. And offensively, Hooker has taken it up even another level. He's, to me, I would put him first on my Heisman ballot right now. He hasn't thrown an interception since his last year in, like, November 13th against Georgia was his last interception. Since then, he's had eight straight games with no interceptions. He's running the ball when he needs to. You know, very dangerous with his legs as well and making great reads. They've got very good skill players. They can run when they need to run the ball. I mean, it's a complete package, and I'm telling you, Alabama better be ready. First of all, Bryce Young has to be ready, and even with him, I'm not sure they're going to win this game.
Just looks like a really well-coached team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's they're getting it all done. That atmosphere will be crazy. A get-in price right now on the secondary ticket market is $300 for the worst seat in a stadium that is massive, that has some bad seats, far seats. Tennessee fans are famous. I don't know if per capita or per minute they get the drunkest, but they drink for the longest. They're not sprinters. They're marathoners. they're probably already RVs there. And they're just,
well, they might be
just rolling for 5 days. So it's a slow build with the Vols. Vol Navy, it's going to be seen.
Yeah, I saw the Vol Navy boats were out there. They're, you know, they're parked along the side of the river right now. And there were some people on there. They were getting the boats ready and stuff. And there may be a couple that had already popped the top at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Might as well. How about this interesting bit about Josh Heupel? 8 years ago, he is the co-offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, the school he won a Heisman. He was second in the Heisman, didn't win it, led to a national title, and was like this rising star. He had helped Sam Bradford. They had like a bad season offensively, not great. He had Landry Jones as his quarterback. And Bob Stoops decides he's got to make a move and fires Josh Heupel. And at that point, like, I mean, that is a career. That's not good.
Right. Yeah. No, a lot of people wrote him off right at then.
8 years later, he's, you know, coaching the bell of the ball right now. Interesting. The other can you remember the other co-offensive coordinator was fired that day?
Was fired that day. This was 98.
It was 2014.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It was Jay Norvell. Oh, my. He might not have been he was the wide receiver coach. Jay Norvell then goes on to Nevada, does a terrific job there. Really good, solid job. Now he's at Colorado State with a massive rebuild. But Stoops fired two future head coaches.
Yeah.
So,
wow. Yeah.
But you don't see this one too often.
No. So, yeah, as part of, I guess, the Heupel revival there in Tennessee, do we have an heir apparent song to Rocky Top? Do we have something better? Has there been something on the interwebs that could potentially be the new anthem of the Vols?
No. But there is
not talking about a shirtless tattooed man, are you?
A shirtless, scrawny tattooed man. That's this guy. I like, if you're going to put a bizarre tattoo of Smokey on your entire upper torso, wouldn't it be good if you were at least had some musculature whatsoever?
this is a TikTok that's out there of this guy. We'll play it. Cue it up there. Yeah, he's sitting in a car, shirtless. Doesn't seem like he's been down Planet Fitness or Powerhouse Gym too much. I'm not saying the guy is on meth. I'm just saying that if he was on meth, he probably wouldn't look too much different. And he, I guess, fashions himself as the Jay-Z of East Tennessee. Producer Sean, please play this quote unquote song, end quote.
Happily.
Hey, what's up, Vol Nation? So I thought I'd release a little sneak peek. Yeah, I got Smokey on my chest. After Saturday, them Bama fans will lay to rest. Now, let me release some of this heat. Hey, Bama fans, take a seat. The FSAG here with the do-rag in K-Town. It's about to go down in the 8-5. After this game, you will not survive. Bama, go ahead and retire while you alive. Tennessee about to drop the hammer on Bama. It will be like they was dragged to the slammer. Yeah, they awful at ugly crimson. You should be locked up in a prison. Looks as dumb as Homer Simpson. That ugly fat elephant isn't right, really right, irrelevant. Right,
enough.
It took yeah. Seven giving away the
it is. I saw that, so and I, before bad. I played it, before I played it, I thought this is going to be good, right? I mean, I saw how he looked, and he obviously posted it himself. I thought
This was a good idea. He thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, I thought before I pushed play, I thought I bet this is pretty good rap. I bet this is pretty good beat, and I pushed play, and where we stopped it was the one where. That was it, man. When he was trying to rhyme with Crimson or something, and it just went poorly. Poorly.
The sad part is he clearly put some work into this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, he tried.
Yeah, he definitely. This wasn't just like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to try to.
Hell of an effort. Out.
He put an effort in and came up with that. And it was he like putting, is his background music, does he insert a tape into his car radio? It seems like it, right?
I don't know. I mean, the sampling or whatever was the least of the issues, but that wasn't great either. Yeah, that was a rough go. It did call to mind the. Do you remember the dude? I think I still follow him on Twitter. Who, when they hired Butch Jones, did the Butch Jones song?
I don't.
It was with the chorus aimed at Alabama, he's gonna kick your ass, he's gonna kick your ass, he's gonna kick your ass. Amazing. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Just screams, Butch Jones! That one didn't turn out too well. We'll see if this guy's...
Did anyone rap about Pruitt, the asparagus song or something?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's... Vols, good to have you back. It's good to have you back. You guys are... You're entertaining above your weight class. I'll give you that. This guy, keep living the dream. You don't know. American Idol's always out there. The Voice. I would not spin my chair for this. I would not have spun my chair. Anyway. All right.
Somebody out there may say, hey, I can work with that and turn him into a star. You never know.
Coaching Carousel. Matt Rhule is back.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Rhule fired from Carolina. That was really a dumb idea of Carolina's. And then they gave him a 7-year deal. He still owed $40 million.
That's unbelievable. That's like a college deal.
Really was.
An NFL guy got.
Yeah. It was a college deal. 7-year contract.
$840,000 a month he'll get. A check of $840,000 a month for, I think it's like 40-something months, I believe. That's unbelievable.
Bad.
I would never
lift a finger again.
He may not coach next year. We'll see.
Yeah.
But Matt Rhule was very good at Temple. I think he won 3 games his first year. One is by third and fourth, he had 2 10-win seasons. He had a shot at all sorts of jobs. He could have stayed. He, oddly, in my opinion, took Baylor, which had just fired Art Briles and had been involved in this massive sexual assault scandal. NCAA violations were potentially coming, you know, everything bad that you could. This was a just a mess of a program at the time. Everybody transferred. I literally was covering a Dallas Cowboy game and then drove down to Waco the next day to talk to Matt Rhule and ask him, why the hell did you take this job? he was about to go 0-8 on the season.
Remember the Oregon job was open. He took that over the Oregon job.
Yeah. And he believed in it. He's like, we're going to be good. These kids need me. He's a great, very, very convincing guy. He's a very good coach. And sure enough, 11 wins in a couple of years. And he had Baylor rolling, and he set it up to where kind of changed the style of the program and made a lot of people forget about the negatives. I think Scott Drew's basketball program helped do that too. Really helped the school move on just as a positive way.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Scott Drew's so positive of a person, you know? So I just think it was a lot of Baylor goes off to Carolina. Look, he's potentially back. This is there's nobody else available right now with that level of track record other than, I guess, Urban Meyer. But Urban Meyer's got baggage. Matt Rule does not. Losing in the NFL means nothing. Nick Saban didn't do it. Steve Spurrier didn't do it, came back. Pete Carroll didn't do it and went to USC. So that part, that probably helps him.
Yeah.
Where? Let's play. If you had your choice, there's a bunch of jobs open. Let's put Auburn in there for the sake of this argument. Auburn, Nebraska, Wisconsin will, you know, they got an interim kind of tryout going. All these guys are winning. Georgia Tech. If you're Matt Rule, what do you do? Do you take any of those jobs, or do you say, put me as the Fox third game analyst next year and I'll collect my NFL money and wait for something else? Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, because last cycle was so wild with obviously like LSU and USC and then Notre Dame, Oklahoma, all the domino effect of all these big jobs, Miami, Oregon, they kind of expected this year's cycle to be fairly slow when it comes to like upper level power five, like really good jobs. And I think most people would tell you there's 15 jobs in the country, maybe even 12, where you can win a national title. And I wouldn't think that Matt Rule would go to, I mean, he'll have someone have his pick. So I wouldn't think he would go to a team that's outside of that 12 to 15 where he can win a national title. And I don't know that one of those jobs, except one, right, comes open this year, which is Auburn, as you mentioned. I mean, they've, you know, played for it a couple of times the last decade or so. But I wonder if he waits because of the money and the situation. I wonder if he waits for maybe a busier cycle where he might have some better options next year. Although, talking to somebody, a couple people at Baylor who know him pretty well, they find it hard to believe that he'll sit out a year, that he's not that kind of guy. So I don't know. I mean, I guess to me, in Auburn or an Arizona State, I think makes the most sense. I don't know why. I just can't necessarily see him going to a Nebraska or Wisconsin. Not to say those jobs are bad or anything, but I think he strikes me as someone, you know, he has I know this, he's kind of a beach coast guy. So I wonder if he'll try to stay along the coast area. That's kind of been intimated to me. So I don't know.
What is a beach coast guy? Like, are you hung out in the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a beach coast guy. I'll say I'm a beach coast guy, you know?
Waco is kind of beach coast?
Yeah, not really, but you know, that's...
I missed that when I've been there.
I guess it was kind of floated to me that he would want to be...
Not Nebraska, is that what you're saying?
Like not in the middle of the... Yeah, not in the middle of the country. Yeah.
There's a lot of coast.
Not in the cornfield.
There's a lot of beaches and coast in Wisconsin.
Well, that's true.
There's a lake.
There's some nice lake coast.
Large lake.
Yeah. So
one of the great...
I don't know. Maybe he waits for a better cycle to happen next year. And always, you know, there's always a job open that we never see coming. Well, I mean, I guess Wisconsin would count as that this year. But I just think he can be pretty picky, right? And why wouldn't you wait for one of those 12 to 15 jobs to come open? And maybe that is Auburn. But I don't know. Auburn obviously has had its issues. We all know about the booster involvement and the meddling in Auburn and all that stuff. So does he really want to do that?
Pat, where's he going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's difficult.
About the beach, okay?
I think it's difficult to find a natural fit for him. I really do. Wisconsin is the best open job, but might well have its guy. And even then, while it's the best open job, it's been a good job. But is it one of those national championship jobs? Probably not. Never has been. Nebraska, I would be wary of. Arizona State, a lot of potential, but that's always been the case. If Auburn opens, do you want to take on everything that comes with Auburn? I don't know. Here's what I would think if I were Matt Rhule. I would look at this landscape as it currently exists, talk to some people, weigh some options, not take any of them, and then say, I know there's a job that could come open next year where you recruit the hell out of Texas, where I once did, and you do have a chance to compete for a title, and it's Oklahoma. Ooh. If Brent Venables can't get this thing back on track, they ain't going to wait forever. They might give him 2 years, but they ain't going to give him three if it's bad from here to through next year. And I could see that being an attractive kind of place for him. But again, that's projecting a long way out. But if even if people don't see him as a sit-out kind of guy with $40 million, I could become a sit-out kind of guy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
$840,000 a month. So he's not going to get it all because there's an offset. But yeah, $840,000 a month, and you go get another job in broadcasting. There's no offset on that. And you take a year and you tour around like they do. I could see sitting there saying, hey, I'm going to take my shot. Maybe Oklahoma does. I don't know. We will see. He is he's going to be a hot candidate. Hot candidate, though. All right. Weird fact. Weird stat of the week. Not that we do this like every week. Everyone knows Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame started his career at Notre Dame 0-3, lost his first three games. Oklahoma State last year in a bowl game. Then Ohio State. Then Marshall. Then on September 15th, he officially converted in a ceremony in South Bend, or in Granger, near South Bend, and became Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Since converting to Catholicism, Marcus Freeman, the Notre Dame head coach, is now 3-0.
That's right.
0-3, 3-0. We're not afraid to tackle the religious element here, as clearly. Pat, is God the reason
that Marcus Freeman is... Jesus was waiting. He was waiting, and now he got it. The power of Christ compels you to become a winning coach, to become a Catholic and become a winning coach. That's clearly the reason. Absolutely. I mean, there's something that, like, it needed an exorcism to get past losing to Marshall and then start winning.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yes.
Like, losing at home to Marshall's as bad as it gets.
He needed the good Lord to come in, yes.
Yes.
As a boy raised Catholic through elementary, high school, Catholic school, and a dad who taught Catholic religion classes his whole career, I'm witness to the fact that all of us Catholics are undefeated.
We do not need to start a holy war here. What if he gets on another losing streak? Do you switch to something else? That's what I want to know. Do you just keep?
Well, you keep your options open. And again, we have pastors that listen to this. I'm sure there would be a Lutheran would step up, a Presbyterian. We got a Methodist.
Yeah, we got a lot of options here. We got guys all over.
We are.
I have not heard from a Catholic priest, but I'm sure they're out there.
Sure, we're multi faith destination.
We're multi denominational. We're a big tent here. We're a big tent here. Anyway,
an ecumenical podcast.
Kind of interesting. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. All right. Huge game this weekend in Ann Arbor. The other really big game is a bunch of good games. We would talk about the Big 12, but we're again contractually obligated to not talk about Oklahoma State. Can't give them any credit at all. Now we're going to pick a bunch of games on Thursday too. We'll get to more of these, but Penn State is visiting Michigan, top 10 game. Nittany Lions look pretty good. Freshman running backs Nicholas Singleton, Katron Allen look really good. Sean Clifford stepped in. They got a great red zone defense. You know, Michigan's going to be, I think, a touchdown favorite or so. But this is a big game. But after James Franklin's last couple years, where they have struggled. They got a nice start last year and then fell apart. I think they were 4-5-0, just like this year, and then fell apart late. lost all their games, but he won 11 games in 3 out of 4 years, but since then 4-5, 7-6. How big of a game, how big of a matchup is this for James Franklin to keep the all suddenly happy again Nittany Lion fans on his side? He's got a long, long contract, but it just seems like a game with a lot to prove for Penn State. Pat?
Yeah, I agree. No, this is a prove-it game for them. He said they've been 500 for last 2 years. And Michigan's gone right past them. You know, last year winning the division, and I think we've all looked at it as a two-power division, Michigan and Ohio State, and can Penn State do something about that and make it a three-power or knock down one of the other powers? So this is part of proving that. As you mentioned, they, you know, their schedule's been pretty good. I mean, the win over at Purdue, I think, is good and going to continue to resonate pretty well. Winning at Auburn, what doesn't say much, but the way they did it, I think, does say something. I mean, they pounded them. Now you go in, and it's funny. I mean, you mentioned they're like the good red zone defense and stuff, but the meat and potato stats on Penn State are like, you know, I mean, they're like fifth or sixth in the Big Ten in yards per game or yards per play. They're like eighth or ninth in yards allowed. But they put together enough winning elements to keep winning games. So I'm intrigued by this game for sure. And if they can slow down Blake Corum and throw it on J.J. McCarthy's shoulders, then we're going to find out a little bit more about him and about the Wolverines as a passing attack. So I'm super excited for that game as well.
Yeah, that's essential, right? They've got to slow down Blake Corum. I'm sure that's goal number one this week is to slow him down. And in the past, you know, James Franklin's teams have had pretty solid defenses that you would trust to, you know, they're like typical built Big Ten teams. You know, they have the pocket quarterback and solid running backs and in a pretty strong defense. But this is where last year they fell apart. They lost three in a row after starting the season 5-0 last season. They lost at Iowa to kind of start a little slide there. And we haven't seen, you look back on the records, you mentioned 11-2 in 2019. Yeah, that was the last time like we saw, you know, a really, really good Penn State team. James had it rolling there his third and fourth years. They won 11 games each. They went to the Rose Bowl one of those years. And then we had the 11-2 in 2019. But, you know, since then, before this year, you know, the 2020 year and 2021, they won 11 games combined in those years. Obviously, that is short in 2020, but they went 4-5. So it's kind of been a struggle. Of course, oddly enough, and this is probably tells us where we are in college football, but you got the big raise and extension last year in a season in which they went 7-6. So there you go.
Yeah, like $90 million or something.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah, that's the Mel Tucker domino effect there.
Right. Mel Tucker domino effect plus the openings at LSU. USC and LSU that he flirted
with. Yeah, he was going to be the hot USC coach.
Yep. I think there's some interest in both those programs for him for sure. So he took advantage of that.
So, you know, James Franklin is a super impressive guy when you talk to him. Good recruiter, a lot of energy. He's a good, solid, and he's proven to be a really good. I mean, he had 2-9-4 seasons at Vanderbilt, which is, you know, he went 5-3 in an SEC season at Vanderbilt. Recruited really good players.
Might never see it again, literally.
Might never see it again.
Right. Yep.
And he goes to Penn State, which is still, you know, Bill O'Brien was there for 2 years. He comes in, but there was still a little bit of, you're dealing with sanctions and Sandusky and all this stuff. And he really gets them rolling. They win the Big Ten in 2016. They go to the Rose Bowl, lose. He's had some really good years. It's like, well, when are you getting to the playoff? Especially after Harbaugh did it. Michigan State's done it. Michigan State had a big year last year. Like, when is this big season coming again? And I think it's a fair want. There's nothing about Penn State that shouldn't be Ohio State's equal or closer than it has been.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not the only school, but your Pitt is there, but you're the dominant school in a big state. You have all the money, all the fans, all the backing, and you're getting this huge contract. And it's like, we're not doing all that to keep finishing third or fourth in the East.
Yep.
Yep. That's part of the tension and the fascination of that division is somebody does have to finish third.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody with 100+ thousand seat stadium and a lot of good recruits and great tradition and good coaches has to finish third or worse.
Interesting playoff look at this. At this one. Okay. I don't know. I don't know that either of them have the schedule to do this, but whoever loses or no, whoever wins can then go against Ohio State and lose.
Mm.
And then because of the divisions, they would just finish like 11-1.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And have a win over the other one. And is that potentially sneak in that way without having to face now in the future when they get rid of divisions, I think they're going to they're not going to like getting rid of divisions.
I agree.
I think there's some losses to that. Cause like this game is a huge game because of what it means in the East, in the Big Ten East, but in the future, you'd have to like beat Ohio State, then beat them again. And so it's kind of interesting to see whether it's almost like you can win this, it sets you up to lose or whatever. But anyway, Buckeyes at the end of the month in Happy Valley, this would obviously make this a huge game for Penn State. But I think there's a lot of pressure on them.
Go ahead. I almost didn't believe you when you said, you know, when is that big season coming where they make the playoff? Because I was thinking, damn, they haven't made the playoff. And they've had like two or three teams, and 11-win teams that just felt like playoff teams, but they've never got in. And, of course, that one year, 2016, I think, when they won the Big Ten, but they had two early season losses. 2017. Yeah.
2017. Well, I'm sorry. You know, they you're right. It was the 2016 right. Regular season.
Yeah. Pitt kept Pitt, and they got smoked by Michigan.
By Michigan. That's right. 49-10. Yep. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah. So, and got left out of the playoff by one spot. Yeah, Washington got in over them at 12-1, and the Big Ten champion was left out. And that season was part of the reason why the Penn State president that year brought up expanding the college football playoff. And that was one of the first things I'd heard said in the CFP committee among the commissioners was in the president's room, the executive board of the CFP. The Penn State president brought that up, of course, after that season, after his own team and the Big Ten champion got left out. He raised that with the board. And, of course, the next year is when they started exploring.
All right, injuries piling up across the country. A big one here, Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels, according to Lawrence Journal World, is out for the season. Grade 3 separation of his right throwing shoulder. That is Zach Bauer from the paper there. That's a tough blow. The dream season. Mm-hmm. We'll see how they do, but that's a tough blow.
Yeah, he was rolling and they were rolling. Sad.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. I am undeterred though in being bullish on Kansas because the backup's really
Jason
good.
Jason Bean.
The backup, Jason Bean, who. You know, he got beat out as the season progressed last year. But here's the thing. They're going to Oklahoma this weekend, and for some inexplicable reason, they're a touchdown underdog to an Oklahoma team in complete disarray. But Jason Bean last year had led Kansas to nearly beating Oklahoma. He was 17-23 for 246 yards. And if you remember, it's like Caleb Williams just was pulling stuff out of his rear to win that game for Oklahoma. He had like they were stopped on a fourth down, and he took the ball from his running back and ran it for the first down, and that kind of kept them going, I think, to either take the lead or put the game away, one of the two. And that was Kansas better this year. Jason Bean is a perfectly capable backup. He can step in. He was really good. He was dealing in the second half after Jalen Daniels got hurt. 16-24, 262, and 4 TDs last week. Kansas, fine. Go with the Rock Chalkers.
All right. You're still on the bandwagon. All right. I like it. I like it. All right. How about this one? I posit this question. Syracuse any good? We're going to find out. Playing NC State this weekend. what a season out of nowhere. Dino Babers, let me read his win totals, okay? He's been at the Qs. Now, the guy wanted Eastern Illinois, and he wanted Bowling Green. Got 10-3 at Bowling Green. Anytime you get 10 wins in the MAC, you automatically get a new job. It's like it's like Price is Right. You hit the dollar on that wheel, and you get to go to the showcase showdown. But he gets the job. 4-8, 4-8, 10-3. Holy cow. They're ranked 15th in the country. 5-7, 1-10, 5-7. Like, you fired almost everywhere. I think it was just too cold. They didn't get the mailman didn't deliver the firing. 5-0. It's like a damn roller coaster going on here.
Yeah.
Pat, what's going on at the Qs?
Your question is a legitimately good one. Are they good or not? I don't think we know yet. But they're
beat Purdue.
5-0. That they beat Purdue in one of the craziest set of circumstances of the season, and we've seen a few of them. Purdue got 7 penalties in the last 51 seconds of that game after taking the lead.
Yeah, they were intimidated.
They blew that every way possible. It's
like when Pete Carroll forgot to run the ball because he was Belichick scared him. That's they crushed Louisville. I know
Louisville's not good,
but they still 31-7. They beat Virginia. They beat Purdue.
Virginia's terrible.
They beat UConn.
Connecticut's terrible. They beat Wagner in a game that was so embarrassing that they went running clock in the second half.
Their strength of schedule in Sagarin is 118th.
Yeah. So
Jim Boeheim.
We'll find out.
It's not their fault. They beat Purdue.
They did.
Yeah, we'll find out real soon here. Their next three games, I think, what is it, Pat? NC State, Clemson, and maybe Wake?
Notre Dame.
NC State, Clemson, Notre Dame. At Pitt, Florida State, at Wake. I mean, like, you win even a couple of those, and I'll be impressed.
Yeah, if you can go 2-1, that's pretty good.
They still might not. They're 5-0, and they still might not become bowl eligible. I think it's iffy.
Golly. Not on Team Orange, is he? Wow. Garrett Schrader, by the way, former Klanga quarterback, throwing the ball around 70%, completing 70% of the passes, 10 TDs, 1 INT.
Yeah.
Ran the ball pretty good, too. He's averaging about 50 yards rushing a game. So we'll see. Yeah, we're going to find out real quick how good Syracuse is. And, if they can win – if they can win one of the next three, I think –
You know,
there's probably a lot of people up there that would take that, especially entering the season where there were no expectations. The only expectation was that Dino was probably going to get fired. Like, that was kind of the expectation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody was surprised he even made it into this season, much less, now to be thriving.
Honestly, they go 2-5 the rest of the way. It's a heck of a season.
Yeah.
I mean, they get BC. 7-5. They're at BC at the end. They could probably beat them. Maybe they beat Pitt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's NC State, Clemson. At Clemson, Notre Dame, at Pitt, Florida State, at Wake, at BC. If they end up 7-5, that's a good season. It's going to look bad because it was stacked the wrong way. But if I'm Dino, I'm down in the AD's office right now going, 5-0, maybe a couple of years extension.
Yeah. I need the extension now.
The AD's like, call me after Halloween. Let's see what's let's see what's going on here. All right. We have got some very, very pressing People's Court matters. We will get more football later in the week. We're going to pick a bunch of games, so we'll get to that. But our duty calls. We are here to help America through its trying questions without fear or favor. And so the People's Court, we have two huge ones here.
All rise. The Honorable Judge Wetzel, Judge 40, and Judge Dellinger presiding. This is the People's Court.
I'm going to start with this one. It was sent to us all over. I think it's a very important issue. A grocery shopper in California, Philip White, that's his name, Philip White, about being known, identified as a grocery shopper. Isn't that everybody?
Yeah, that could be all of us, I think.
Have you ever been to a grocery store?
Yeah.
I've never been. Never been to a grocery store. What? A grocery shopper. Okay. A grocery shop. I mean, maybe like the King of England or something. I mean, who hasn't been to the grocery? Anyway. A grocery shopper in California has filed a class action lawsuit against the T.W. Garner Food Company. Now, we have done a lot of these lawsuits against the food companies. Famously, remember the guy in Chicago sued Kellogg's because the strawberry Pop-Tart only had 2% strawberry in it and didn't feel that was enough.
Yeah.
So it was a groundbreaking in food law. Food law is how I would say. So,
boom industry for the lawyers.
There's been many of these. Anyway, this guy is suing T.W. Garner Food Company, alleging false advertising. The T.W. Garner Food Company makes the Texas Pete brand of hot sauce. Okay, you never seen Texas Pete, right? Mm-hmm. You probably had it. Mm-hmm. The issue, Texas Pete hot sauce is not made in Texas, but rather in North Carolina. Mm. So grocery shopper Philip White says when he went down to his local Ralph's supermarket in L.A. and purchased a $3 bottle of Texas Pete in September 2021, he was defrauded because this indeed had nothing to do with Texas. And per the complaint, White relied on the language and images displayed on the front label of the product and at the time of purchase understood the product to be a Texas product. The label includes, quote, the famed white lone star of the Texas flag, plus a lassoing cowboy, which are images White assumed to be distinctly Texan. And then he was disappointed to learn that Texas Pete is actually made in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and some of the ingredients aren't even from Texas.
Gasp.
This guy was so upset.
Disappointed to learn.
So I would say he was crushed. He made a federal lawsuit.
Yeah,
he literally made a federal. You've heard the term. Don't make a federal case out of it.
Yes,
he made $3. This dude spends $3
$3
on a hot sauce
at Ralph's in Los Angeles.
At Ralph's down in L.A. And now he's irate and he has sued this company. So
what do you think the company's executive said when they saw this come across the desk? I would love a good reaction from them. Unbelievable.
Texas Pete. So does what's this? The grocery shopper, Philip White. grocery shopper, Philip White. Does he have it's a class action suit. So we could technically all of us. Plaintiffs here.
I've bought some Texas Pete in my day.
I thought it was from Texas too. I got to admit. Does he have a case, Pat 40?
Look, as much as I love finding the absurdest take in these people's court things, I want to shoot this lawyer and the grocery shopper into the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, seriously. Oklahoma Joe's is the best barbecue in Kansas City, Missouri. You don't sue them because of that. Eskimo Joe's is the best bar in Stillwater, Oklahoma. It's not run by an Eskimo, I don't think. There's no Eskimos, to my knowledge, in Stillwater. Maybe they migrated down from Alaska and Canada, but I doubt it. If the bottle of the sauce said Pete's Texas Hot Sauce, maybe you got a case, but it's just Texas Pete. Don't we all know somebody? Like, I remember you used to listen to the talk radio and be like, yeah, Carolina Carl calling on a car phone in Louisville, Kentucky. He's just because his name is Carolina Carl doesn't mean he's in North Carolina. This is ridiculous. Throw it out. Lawsuit dismissed.
Ross.
So the bottle had the Texas flag on it, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said, Dan?
Yeah.
I mean,
a star of Texas.
A star of Texas.
And I'm looking at the bottle right now. There's like this weird, I don't know what, like a cowboy with a lasso. Let me see here.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, it is a cowboy with a lasso. He's lassoing something.
But you have Cowboys in North Carolina. You can lasso
they do.
People.
Sure you do.
And,
well, they must. And that star. I mean, that star doesn't necessarily connote.
It's just a
Texas.
Yeah, that looks like the rally star, like from the rally, like the Hardys.
I don't even see the star. Where's the star at on this thing?
Above the E and Pete.
Oh man! Yeah, wow, they put that in there. They hid that thing.
I know that does not look like the Texas State star.
No, not really.
Just a star.
No,
and then it's got three peppers.
You could tell kind of what they were doing. You know, they tried to get a little bit of Texas in there to
They admit that. They said
false advertisement.
They said the website says that. Legend had the company's founder, Sam Gardner, and his sons, Thad, Ralph, and Harold. So Sam, Thad, Ralph, and Harold are sitting around. They were trying to come up with a name for their hot sauce. Big business.
There's no real person named Texas Pete.
No. They were going to call it Mexican Joe.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they didn't do that. Good Lord.
Because of the picante flavor of the cuisine they associated with the region. But Sam said, no, he wanted an American name. That's right.
Oh, there
we
go.
So he came up with Texas, which
America.
Also is known for its spicy cuisine. And then he tacked Pete on because for some reason his son Harold's nickname is Pete. So, which is even weirder.
Here's your deep dive on the evolution of Texas Pete's naming.
Amazing. Wow. It gets thrown out. I was argue the other side, but there's not really much of another side to argue. So
this is one of the dumbest ones we've had. This one's dumb. I got
but boy,
nothing
it was
for
sent
you,
to
Phillip
us by
White.
A lot of people.
And stop pretending it's like you'd get a moniker by being a quote grocery shopper. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That one, we did hear from a lot of people on that one. And
a lot of people wanted to know what we thought. Case dismissed. Nope. We're ruling for Sam and Harold, Pete, and everybody else down there in North Carolina. All right. Finally, the other case we got to get to. I think this guy was in Australia or something, but I don't know. It's based on a Reddit post. So we're really, of course, the New York Post wrote about it.
Of course.
Details a little sketchy. I think are you familiar with the baby moon trip? The baby moon, you know, particularly a couple that's just having their first child. You take a vacation before while the wife is pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a baby moon, they call it.
Oh,
so you go on a vacation because it's like the baby's coming. There ain't going to be any vacations. Yeah, you know, you can't really do all the stuff you used to like doing. But, you know, maybe go to a spa resort. I don't know. Yeah, baby moon, right? So it's a thing. So this guy and his wife, they get pregnant and they're going to do the baby moon. However, the issue is because she's pregnant, they've had to give up some of their, some of their lifestyle has had to change. This guy admits that, let me get the actual Reddit post. This is pretty good. Did a lot of research on this one. So he said, my wife and I both normally would smoke weed pretty often.
All right.
Okay.
There you go.
And my wife would smoke more than me, mainly due to the fact that I work more hours and she works at a grocery store where she can happily go to work high.
Wow.
This is getting better.
Wow.
All right. I think that was like a dig on his wife. Like you're stoned at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's hard to be. Can you be stoned at the grocery store? A lot of groceries.
I don't know. I think it'd be easier if you're stocking shelves than if you're working the cash register.
I don't know. Now they make me do the cash register at Kroger. I got to do it myself.
Well, yeah, sure.
I scan those things. I do pretty good.
Yeah.
Although it's always
could you do it while high?
I think I could.
Okay.
Although I always get like the thing, the alarm goes off and it's always for like, it's not even for like, I misput the wrong number for a tomato or something. It's like a box of Cheerios. I don't know what.
Maybe you're not that good.
Last time I was there, someone was saying, are we getting to go to the company party? We work at the grocery store here. Anyway, I'd rather a high person's getting paid than me do it on the scanner, but whatever. I don't make the rules. So anyway, so she had to give up getting a smoking weed. So because of the baby, right? So that's good. They didn't drink a lot, but now they're going to go on the trip and she can't drink either. Okay, so since my wife got pregnant, I knew weed would be her thing. So I was more than happy to give up smoking. So it's a nice husband, right? But then she said she also expected me to give up drinking, literally drinking. I'm not even allowed to have one beer if we go to a meal. So they're going to go on the baby moon, but he's not. He goes, I'd like to take us on a holiday abroad to recharge after working hard. I'll just say that. But not being able to enjoy a few drinks on holiday, I feel kills the relaxation.
On a holiday.
And so he has canceled the baby moon because my wife has decided she will not budge. And if she can't drink, neither can I. So I won't be paying for the trip. So here is the question for the People's Court. Is this guy in the right that if his wife is not even going to let him drink on the trip because she can't drink, should he cancel it? Or is she being unreasonable and he should be able to get as loaded as he wants, even if she can't because she's got the baby? Pat?
Well, this should be the biggest slam dunk since the Supreme Court crushed the NCAA.
I think we know, right? How I'm going to vote.
Yeah, we certainly know how I'm going to vote. Come on. This is ridiculous. Hey, you know what? Tell her, good job. You know, you got to carry the mom's duty here. I do not. I am not pregnant. I'm drinking. I mean, this isn't even in doubt. This is like from the airplane onward on holiday, as he said.
Yeah.
It's going to be a holiday. It's not going to be a... I'm going to suffer along with you. That's only going to create tension and resentment anyway. Dan, you've had a couple kids.
Yeah.
Did you forsake alcohol while your wife was pregnant?
Never even dawned on me. No, hell no.
What? Same here.
If I had known that, we would have no kids.
What dawned on me was, oh, we got a DD. Great.
Yeah, driving. Exactly. She would drive us around. That was great.
Yeah. So this is an open and shut case, easy ruling. The woman absolutely is just horribly in the wrong, and the man is
get
is,
it together, is in a mom.
Party.
Yeah. Yeah. Ross.
Yeah. I mean, cancel the damn trip if you can't drink. There's no holiday without alcohol. It's not a holiday then. Then it's a just a boring work day or something, man. Yeah, cancel the trip, man. That's not. And this would totally happen to me too. You know, I don't. My wife and I don't have kids, but I could see if she got pregnant, she would totally do this to me. I can just totally
see her, really?
Her doing this to me.
Oh wow!
Yeah, she would. She would do this
something
to me.
And
we would not be going on vacation. The baby moon would not be happening.
So she's going to say, because I can't drink, you can't drink. You got to suffer along with me.
At times, she says that now, when for whatever weird reason she can't drink. So, yeah, I'm sure if she were pregnant, that would happen. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of this at all. Boo.
Yeah, don't set this precedent. No, this is absolutely terrible. Look, let's say one of you go on a vacation and one of you has a sprained ankle, broken ankle. Do you say the other one can't go for a jog on the beach? No.
No. Absolutely. Not. I agree. I went skiing in college with my girlfriend. She broke her thumb on the first run. She went and sat in the lodge and drank beer and said, you go ski. So I did.
All right. See, that's the system. That's the system. Right. No, absolutely not. You don't get in the way of a guy's drinking on holiday. You should be.
We should canvass our female listeners, of which we actually have a surprisingly decent amount of them.
Kind of weird.
What they think.
Actually weird.
Since we are all like-minded and very male on this, I would like to hear from females if they think that we're.
Indeed.
Yeah, we're like the old school Supreme Court.
Yes. What? Yes. White, yeah. Bunch of white males in here. Yeah, that's right.
Well, all I can say is that No, I would cancel the trip also. That's a little, this whole parenting thing is not starting off real well for them.
It's not. I fear for the longevity here.
It's the first time not drinking has caused this much problem in a relationship, but lighten up, go, let them get a little crazy. At least you got the baby moon. All right. That's our show. We'll be back Thursday. We'll pick a bunch of games and there'll be more nonsense, I'm sure.
We'll talk about Wetzel the horse.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to Wetzel the horse. I got two words for you about Wetzel. There's a horse now named Wetzel. Mm-hmm. And I got two words. Kentucky Derby. We're going all the way. Wetzel the horse. We'll get there. Yeah. We don't have no time. This show's so
stupid. That'll be a rich topic on like Thursdays. Yeah. Come back.
Yeah, we'll also have the final results. 747. Bring this thing home. By the time you're listening, you'll know where the 747 won Fat Bear Week. Overcame the cheaters. All of it. Anyway, we'll get to it. Continue to share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you later.